Gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. All men feel like prisoners at times, particularly if they're married. There you are, stuck at home, knowing that the boys are whooping it up down at the local, and you're stuck at home with the mother-in-law on one side, the wife on the other, the inevitable patent place on the telly in the middle, and you don't want to listen to or look at any of them.
I know what you mean. I was trapped once at a dance with this great, big, beautiful, bouncy bird. And generous with it. I could hardly wait to get her on the floor. Gosh, the frustration.
All right, Mr. Phillips, what went wrong?
Well, 6 to 4, he took her outside in the car park and showed her how his yo-yo went up and down in the dark.
You were peeping.
He always does. That's how the chief makes a good living on the side.
I'll be quiet, the lot of you. Well, there's more to escaping from the mother-in-law, the wife, or a dance, especially if you're in the Royal Navy, as Commander Murray, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, and Chief Petty Officer Pertwee are about to find out, as they bounce along in the back of a military truck on the way to somewhere.
All I know is, officers and gents assembled, there is something cock-eyed somewhere. Look here, for the last 2 hours, we've been driven around in this elderly transport, never decreasing circles, with possible consequences that Pertwee's thick box don't dare contemplate. And what happened to you two, eh? Well, you was whipped willy-nilly into Captain Povey's office for a short, sharp chat, and having been short, sharp chatted, was slung out of his senior service sanctuary into this vintage vehicle, knowing what I what not of. But not what not in, Pertwee is still waiting to know how he got what not in.
You know what he was talking about, Mr. Phillips?
Not the foggiest, Commander Murray. I got lost after the first willy-nilly and got not what it.
Well, Chief, Mr. Phillips and I walked into Captain Povey's office, and as soon as he saw us, he started to laugh. He never stopped laughing. In fact, the whole time we were there, he laughed.
Captain Murray, Lieutenant Phillips to see you, Captain Povey.
Oh, good. Oh, do come in, gentlemen. Won't you sit down? No!
We're in the muck.
Yes, about 14 tons of it.
Oh, nonsense! You'll have a wonderful time! And if you don't, I shall.
So before you have complete hysteria, will you tell us what is this wonderful time we're going to have?
Oh, it'll be a pleasure. You're going on an exercise straight away.
Oh, right, sir. I'll get Cloudbridge ready to put to sea immediately.
Oh, that won't be necessary. No, on this exercise, you won't be needing your ship for quite some time. Oh, there's a truck waiting outside for you with certain members of your crew aboard. So off you go, or you'll be late. And that won't go down at all well where you're going.
Incidentally, sir, where are we going in this truck?
Oh, I can't tell you that. And all I can tell you is that you're on exercise escape POW. Good morning.
But he must have told you something more than that, sir.
No, Chief, not a word. I'm as much in the dark as you are.
Yeah, especially with that canvas tied down over the back. We can't even see where we're going.
I only wish we could see the time. Judge how far we've gone.
Oh, I can see the time all right. My Donald Duck watch glows in the dark.
All right, Noddy. What time is it?
Well, it's exactly beak minutes past tail.
Donald Duck watch? I thought you had a Mickey Mouse watch. It always used to be boxing gloves past boots. What happened to Mickey then?
Well, unfortunately, I dropped him in the wash basin and he was drowned. I took him to the jurors, and he was jolly sympathetic about it. There was nothing he could do for poor Mickey. He got water on both knees. His ears had gone rusty. And his little working parts had had it.
Ooh, nice.
My very words. Unfortunately, the shop hadn't got a Mickey Mouse, only a Pluto. And it would sound ridiculous if you were to ask me the time, and I'd say front paw past back paw. So I went to town, and I went to Portland Mason's, and I bought my Donald Duck.
Actually, we'll have to hope that Donald keeps going. If he doesn't, your watch will be like its owner, a complete dead duck.
It's very funny, come on, Mike, sir. Very funny. Where is Pervy being tied to?
Well, how the ho-ho-ho-and-hee-hee should I know?
Now, that's where I can help you. You see, I was trained at Dartmouth to navigate absolutely blind.
You were quite frankly, Mr. Phillips, sir, Pertwee don't care if you were smashed out of your minuscule mind. What Pertwee wants to perceive is, A, where Pertwee is now, B, what's Pertwee doing, and C, where's Pertwee going?
It's perfectly simple. It was all started by this ancient Greek chap in the year 743 B.O. B.O., before an acid. You see, now, this ancient Greek chap did geometry on the side and during the day ran a pie shop. Now, his name was Mr. Pythagoras.
Here it comes.
In fact, he was known locally as Pythagoras.
I knew it!
Now, he had a girlfriend who had a shop next door to a barber's, a chap called Sweeney, who was always on his tot. Her name was Mrs. Lovett. And she did. Now, according to Mr. Pythagoras, the pie maker, all you have to do is to work out the average speed between two points after allowing time off for good behavior and traffic lights.
Oh, shut up.
No, it makes sense. Don't you realize that because of Mr. Pythagoras' theory, we have definitely arrived. Hang on, there's a lot of chaps walking about outside.
Slocum's going home from the pub. Well, according to Donald's beat, it's closing time.
Well, I hardly think so, sir. But in case you hadn't noticed, sir, them feet are all in step. They're marching about like that after closing time. Either the beer around here is incredibly weak, or it's the local formation dancing team's annual booze up.
Murray isn't in the rats. He's our ship's captain.
Shall I warn you again, Blondie? One more word out of you, and you'll get a bayonet in your guts.
Ooh, nasty.
Right turn to the camp commandant's office. Prisoners under escort. Quick, fart! Here, what can only open their rollicking lordships to know what's going on? Because Pertwee certainly don't. What's more, Pertwee don't like it.
Oh, do me walk a chattering quick. Look, I'm the Admiral. This is my office. If you don't shut your chattering cake home, you'll never find out what this is. I have a bloody scheme of Lord Turtle. Back up!
That's better. Oh, I came to be caught up with you lot of boobies. I'll never know.
Yes, yes, yes. Caught up with them many a time in Cairo. Yes, yes. My word, yes. Hong Kong wasn't bad, but Cairo...
Shut your monumental mumbling mush.
Mush shut.
That laugh.
Right, Lord Clerk, off you go. And keep it short, because I'll open in 10 minutes.
Well, gentlemen, as you know, the object of my brainchild exercise escape how is to simulate actual wartime conditions in a prisoner of war camp. And that's why we sent members of the ship's company of HMS Troutbridge to Camp A Royal Marine Commando as guinea pigs.
That's a crackpot idea. My son-in-law Murray's going to love you for this, and so's my daughter Rita. They've already had words about it, and I'd hate to see those two fall out.
Oh, I wouldn't.
They've been out all over the place in Cairo.
Never forgotten it.
No, no.
The guns. Of course, in Hong Kong, but they weren't quite so.
Thank you, Ransom Kim.
My pleasure, sir.
We've all got a pretty good idea of what that is.
Well, then, I'm sure you all agree with my plan, gentlemen. Now, the object of the exercise is to subject naval personnel to the kind of conditions they can expect at the enemy's hands. Forewarned and forearmed, these men will be able to devise ways and means of escape from even the most closely guarded camp. They will know exactly what to expect.
Well, I know what I'm expecting, a large scotch. And open, last one in the bar pushes me home on my bike. This way.
Complaint.
Sick parades Thursday week. So supper.
Yes, you go.
Lights out in 5 minutes. Railway building party on parade. Oh, 500 hours. Tomorrow.
Now look here, Mr. Guard, gentlemen.
Silence!
Right.
No time to talk to the likes of you. I've got to unleash the dogs.
Yes. Well, now that the mate's dotted all left, what tippy little morsels have we got to titillate our jaded palates to start?
Ooh, or trust horses, doofus. Actually, Chief, that's pronounced hors d'oeuvres.
You will glance at your plate, Mr. Phillips. I'm sure you'll agree that horses, doofus is nearer the mark.
Oh, dear. Not a lump of black bread, 3 soya beans and 6 grains of rice again.
No, sir. Only 5 grains of rice. Obviously, the camp commandant thought we were putting on weight.
Oh, this is humiliating. Admiralty have really gone too far.
When I get back, I shall inform my father-in-law, the Admiral, about this immediately.
No, I won't. I shall write to the Ministry of Defense, personally. No, I won't. I shall write to my Member of Parliament. No, I won't. I shall go to the limit. Times.
Gosh. That'll show them, sir.
That commandant chap did say that we were supposed to try to escape, or we'd be here for at least a month. And as far as I'm concerned, that's too long. I mean, it's vital I get out of here by next Thursday.
Well, why Thursday, sir? Have you got a date with a bird?
No. Thursday is the day they deliver my comic.
Well, that settles it. We can't have Mr. Phillips's literary studies interrupted, can we, sir?
You're absolutely right, Chief. I should have thought of it myself.
Yes.
In fact, now you come to mention it, I did. It's our bounden duty as servants of Her Glorious Majesty, as guardians of this sceptered isle, as defenders of freedom and democracy, is our duty to strike a blow for queen and country.
Yes.
But, escape is going to be easier said than done. To the start, the door of this hut is almost locked. There are savage guard dogs patrolling outside, and even if we manage to cross the compound, there's the electrified fence. And don't forget the sweeping searchlights that never go out, those 4 towers at each corner of the camp with their fully manned machine guns, and the minefield that's been laid between this hut and the main gate. And even if we manage to get there, it's locked up as solid as Fort Knox. I've got an idea.
Yes,
yes, yes. Let's not bother.
Excuse me, Mr. Murray, sir, but before you do your nut, in case you hadn't noticed, our hut door's been unlocked. And with due respect, sir, I know you're the camp commandant, but I really must protest to the way I've been treated. After all, you sent for me, said it was extremely urgent, so I drive all the way over from Portsmouth just to be kept hanging around because you're too busy to see me.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Percy. And I do agree that you have been treated rather shabbily. And I would offer you an apology, except that the hideousness that we're in is entirely your own stupid fault.
My fault?
Oh, you clever boy. I knew you'd see it's my right.
Don't! How could it be my fault?
Because you are the idiot who, for purely personal revenge, selected the crew of Trantridge to be our guinea pigs, and by so doing, made yourself a naughty boy, and turned the exercise into a complete farce. Because they won't ruddy well escape.
Look here.
I am looking there, and I'm not very impressed with what I see. In a nutshell, Pony, if they don't break for it tonight, I'm going to have an exchange of prisoners. I shall let them out and you in, you lucky boy.
Oh, no, 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 you can't possibly do that.
Hello? Camp Commandant?
At last, Ramona Pony's residence, and this is Ramona Pony speaking. I demand to know what you've done with my Henry. His tea is ready.
I beg your pardon, madam.
Don't you argue with me. I don't mind him playing sailors during the daytime, but in the evening, he has his chores to do here, and tonight he's supposed to be dusting my dear mother's bust.
Oh, the lucky boy.
You tell Henry from me that his boiled egg has already been on the stove for an hour and a half, and I'm not taking it off until he gets here.
Well, that could be at least a fortnight, madam.
He will still eat it, shell and all. Permission to replace the telephone now. Goodbye.
What's that?
Well, you're not going to believe this, Pony, old man. But it means that at long last, those fools that you sent me are attempting to escape. With amazing daring, your hand-picked crew have finally forced their way through the hut door. Which my guards were told to carefully leave undone for them. They've skillfully managed to avoid all our savage watchdogs that are all asleep, because I have them doped for them. Searchlights have failed to pick them up as they cross the compound, as I arranged for the generator to break down for them. And as long as they can find their way to the main gate, which was left accidentally open for them, they should be away.
Do you think they'll make it?
I'd say there was a very fair chance. In fact, if you look through that window, you'll see the blonde idiot is leading the way with a damn great torch.
Where did they get it?
I had it left outside the hut door. Switched on for them.
Hold it a minute, Chief. I don't think Mr. Phillips can keep up any longer.
You're right, Commander Marissette.
Why are you limping, Mr. Phillips?
I've hurt my knee. I fell over a sleeping guard dog when we were breaking out.
Oh, dear. What a bit of luck you didn't wake him up. I suppose
that was when you broke your torch, sir. No. I broke that when I bashed against the rifle the sentry was holding at the main gate. Bit of luck he didn't notice the noise and was looking the other way at the time.
Yes, well, you would have noticed if I hadn't had the presence of mind to create a diversion.
You didn't create a diversion, sir. You fell over an oil drum.
Don't be petty. Which reminds me, when you get back to Portsmouth, I shall send in the report as to how sloppy that camp is.
Yeah, you do that, sir. Meanwhile, that leaves us with one tiny little problem.
What's that, Chief?
Which way is Portsmouth? Ah, now, as navigating officer, that's where I can help. I said, as navigating officer, that's where I can help. I said, as
I heard what you said, sir. But how? You can never find Portsmouth by seas. How the Drake's drum and cymbals, you're going to find it over land.
I shall use my Donald Duck watch.
Christopher Columbus used exactly the same method when he discovered America.
Really? That would account for the fact that he thought he was heading for India.
No. You see, it's all based on astronomy. All I have to do is to line up Donald Duck's beak with the North Star, which will give me due west. And then provided the feathers on his ankle are in sympathy with Mars and the moon in the right quarter is shining on his slippers, according to Gypsy Petula Clarko, Horsford is either that way or that way or that way or that way.
Well done, Mr. Phillips. The aid of science, you have discovered the Portsmouth is either north, south, east, or west.
Lummy. Thanks, Chief. Isn't it amazing how you can make astrology work for you? I mean, just think, all because one Sunday morning before church, while he was reading the newspapers in the bath, this other ancient Greek chap who lived next door to Mr. Pythagoras' pie shop. Other Greek chap? Oh, yes, you must have heard of him. His name was Mr. Medes. Known to his friends as Archie. Anyway, Archimedes realized his papers were getting a bit soggy, so he leapt out of the bath shouting, Eureka! Which is Greek for Portsmouth is that way.
Which is a bit of a pity. Because if you and Mr. Medes are right, it's the other side of the river and we haven't got a boat.
We have, you know. There's one down here by the river bank.
Where?
My word, those tap guards are careless. I shall mention this in my report as well.
What's that?
If I didn't know better, Mr. Phillips, I'd say it was the after effects of those sawyer beans.
Oh, dear, that's Cornet. The dogs have woken up. They're onto us. Quick, into the boat. Not if you cross the water, the dogs won't pick up the scent. In you get, push her off and start rowing.
Steady as you are.
Very well, sir.
Left or down a bit, Chief?
Left or down a bit, Chief, sir.
Nearly there. In. Up. In. Up. In. Up. In.
Ah! And he's out. And in.
Congratulations, Mr. Phillips. You're running true to form. If there's a lump of sand anywhere, you'll run aground on it.
That's not exactly true, sir. What I'm standing on isn't sand. It's a load of dirty, stinking, filthy, soggy, oh, nasty.
Don't mind describing it. Push us off it.
I can't push it off by myself. Jump in and give me a hand.
Forget it. Heave!
Right, chap, she's floating now. Start rowing.
No, we could, but it hardly seems worth it. There's only a couple of yards to go.
But, sir,
keep pushing. That's the order.
And when we get ashore, Mr. Phillips, do come on and muddy myself a favour, sir, and stand downwind.
All right, you've got us. From me to
I didn't mean push that hard.
Come on, chaps, give me a hand out of the old nasty.
Forget it.
Out.
Oh, all right, boy.
You just did.
That was an accident. But put your hands up and it'll not happen again.
Now, hand over the bunny rabbit. They'll be wanted as evidence in court. Oh, and you in the water, hand over that cod flapping about in your pocket. That'll be needed as evidence, too.
Now, listen to me, you trigger-happy country gentleman. We're not poachers, we're officers in the Royal Navy. We're terribly busy escaping from Camp A, which is somewhere over there on the other side of the river. So unless you wish to be instrumental in obstructing Her Majesty's forces from the line of duty, you better drop that shotgun immediately. And while you're about it, would you tell us the way to Portsmouth?
Please?
Sir?
Ah, no. Where's me watch? Here. Let's see. Portsmouth due south. So all I have to do is line up the big iron with the North Star.
not arguably due west. They've provided the little lambs in sympathy with Mars. The moon's in the right quarter, of course. Then, according to Gypsy Petula Clarko, Portsmouth is that way.
You see, it works.
Oh, shut up! Lead on, Chief. We've got a long trek ahead of us.
Right. Okay.
Chaps! In here! The whole place seems to be deserted.
Thank heaven for that. I couldn't have gone any further. We can all sleep on the floor, up here.
With due respect, sir, we prefer it if you slept on the floor down there. You don't half pong a bit.
You were jolly lucky to find this building site.
Right, gentlemen, no time for chatter. Get your heads down for a couple of hours and we can be away before the builders turn up in the morning. No one will ever know we've been here.
What's the time, Mr. Pitt? Oh, we've got plenty of time for snooze. It's only beak minutes past flippers.
So what's that in real time?
I haven't the faintest idea. Good night.
Good night.
Boy! On your feet!
Hey?
What?
Pardon?
Railway line building party, haul it outside at the double!
What's she talking about?
I have an awful feeling, I know.
Now look here, Mr. Foreman.
Sergeant!
All right, Mr. Sergeant.
What's he doing working on Mr. Power's building site?
Mr. Who?
How? I saw the sign when we broke in last night. It said, site for O.E. Powell.
That is not a building site. That sign means Operation Escape, Prisoner of War. And you just escaped back in.
I thought the top of that wall felt familiar.
Silence in the ranks! Haul it outside! Right, grab your pick and shovel! Right, left, right, left, right, left!
Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been escaping back into the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer, Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Ren Simpkins was Heather Chasen, Rear Admiral Armbridge was Michael Bates, and the Admiral was Taniel Evans. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.